Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour before you blast into the weekend here. Masters Friday, let's do it. Little bird for Tiger as well while we were away. Nice. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. David Griffin, by the way, just how long ago? 5 minutes ago? Basically, 5-10 minutes ago, announced the new president of basketball operations for the Pelicans. And the only matter of time before he gets that job. Got a job. Yeah. Just weren't sure which one. It's the Pelicans.
It's interesting, though. We got to call him up again.
We'll get him back on.
Because he used to come on frequently when he was in his analyst role.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
Now that he's got power somewhere else, that's a good job for him, I think.
It's maybe, a good job. Does it maybe change the direction of what they do with Anthony Davis? Is he brought in there to maybe coerce Davis?
Definitely.
Hey, you know, give me a shot.
Yeah.
Give me a shot to fix this.
Yeah.
You got to say you would think that maybe it would be in play.
That or
facilitate the trade.
Make sure we don't get screwed in this
exactly.
trade.
Exactly. It's probably that because it's, I mean, he just wore the shirt that said, that's all, folks. I mean, that would be kind of, I mean, not that you couldn't recover from that and go back. I guess they would re-accept
you. No, you can't.
You can't?
Nah,
yeah, kind of
really.
Corny. I hear you. But Tiger's off on the back nine in style. He parred 10, just hit a birdie, made a birdie on 11, minus four. Things are rolling. And we're joined by our buddy, Nota Begay, who's been on the show many times, Golf Channel analyst, of course, former player as well. And he's on site at Augusta National as part of the Golf Channel's Golf Central Live from the Masters. Coverage continues all weekend on the Golf Channel, leading up to and immediately following live tournament coverage on CBS. What up, Nota? How you been, buddy?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying another Masters. This place is amazing and just producing so many different storylines. You just never know who's going to pop up on that leaderboard. So it's just fun to watch every shot.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And a guy who's sitting atop the leaderboard, at least the leader in the clubhouse right now, Jason Day. I mean, how the heck is he doing what he's doing, Nota? I mean,
Tiger just stuck one, by the way,
on
16 to 3 feet.
His back is all jacked up, picking up his kid. I mean, how is he pushing through this? But it's a great story regardless because, you know, we all know his background.
If you look back a month ago, he walked off the course on the 16th hole at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando. Shows up the next week, and I talked to him that following week at the Players' Championship. And he said he had four shots in his back.
Wow.
Just to be able to go play. I've had those epidural injections.
Me too.
And it's just remarkable. I mean, he's a remarkable talent, but just to be able to be playing through that, and that's just kind of what Augusta will do. We saw Tony Finau play with basically a broken ankle last year.
That's true.
These guys will do crazy things to show up here and play golf.
You know, when you talk to him, isn't he a little young to be having those issues?
Yeah, but if you just look at his swing, I mean, he swings extremely hard, as do most out here.
Yeah.
And it just puts a lot of stress, and the more reps you put and stress you put on your back at that high of a club head speed, different guys obviously can sustain different amounts of stress, and he has a tendency to sort of struggle with his back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an ongoing issue for the rest of his career, as it was for me, and it was eventually the thing that led me to retire. But players just, you know, they try and address it in the off season, and they try and make repairs or adjustments or improve their training regimen to see if they could get stronger in the core or get more stability in certain areas. But it's just one of those things he's going to have to wrestle with probably from now until when he stops playing golf.
It's brutal. I mean, listen, the epidurals, you know this, Nota, the epidurals will alleviate the pain that radiates down your legs when the nerve is impinged. But it won't necessarily always take away the pain in the lower lumbar. So it's kind of hit or miss. Everybody's body is different, the physiology of it. But it's just amazing to why. I mean, Tiki was out yesterday, and I'm on the air, and I think it was the second hole, but he was basically in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this guy looks like he's not going to be able to walk to his car. And he's hitting the average 293 off the tee. So he's just a physical beast. All these guys are. They're all specimens. They all crush the ball. But we have some leaderboard. Now, can you explain to me, because this is the one thing, I know that, I think that some tournaments are different. We know a lot of golf on the show, but I'm always perplexed when they get to the pairings. Like, because it's not like, well, this guy's minus three, this guy's minus three. They're necessarily playing with each other. It's weird, and I want you to explain that for our audience and me as well. But I ask you that because there's a chance that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, based on where they are right now, both at minus four, it's not implausible they play tomorrow. How does that work at the Masters or in general?
Okay, for the first 36 holes, you're assigned a grouping. Your grouping stays the same on Thursday and Friday. And in most cases, usually have an early start on one day and a later start on the next day.
Yep.
And then after they make the cut, they pair based on score. And so if there's a couple guys, so say Phil Mickelson, which he is playing ahead of Tiger. He will post his score at, say, 5 under.
Okay.
The very next guy, whether it's Tiger or Hao Tong Lee or whoever, posts the next 5 under score will be paired with Phil Mickelson.
Got it.
Makes sense.
I honestly never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
That was
right.
Easy.
So it doesn't. Yeah. So it just as you compile and you post your scores in the scoring tent, that's how it's determined. So if a guy posts at 7 under, like obviously the leaders are easier to pair. But say there were three people that finish at 7. So right now, Francesco Molinari's already in the clubhouse. Jason Day's already in the clubhouse at 7. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what happens, if another guy posts at 7 under, he will not be in that final pairing. But he will go in the next to last.
Got it. But what happens, now I'm going to get real technical and geeky, what happens if, say, Molinari's in the 10th at a minus 7, and then I'll just throw, you know, player X and player Y, both come in at minus 7, is it literally the one who signs it first? Because at that point, they both
no,
be by...
it's not. It's who's listed first on the pairing sheet for that particular round.
He's got all the answers. Okay. All right. Good stuff. Nota Begay is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
You're getting real geeky on me right now.
Yeah, no, I was just curious.
It's the little things, Nota.
About the golf out there.
It's the little things, man. The more you know, right? There is a weather delay that we are just now seeing. What's going on weather-wise out there? Because I know... in the future days, it's tomorrow and Sunday, it might be a big, big factor.
Yeah, it can be, but it's still having an impact right now. There was a lot of rain early in the week, and I talked to Tiger about it a little bit. He just mentioned that it was just soaking wet in the fairways. And one of the unique things that maybe the average sports fan doesn't know about Augusta Nationals, they have what's called a sub-air system underneath the fairways and underneath the greens. They're very expensive systems that actually pull moisture out of the ground, and they drain it and send it off into a sort of a drainage area. So
Wow. They
can actually dry the golf course out much, much quicker than courses that don't have a sub-air system in place. And it really comes into play with the greens because they can, on normal weeks with not a ton of rain, they can make the greens as soft or as fast and hard as they like. So they can really control scoring with how difficult they make it to hold the greens. So it's one of the unique things about Augusta, and you'll see them from time to time. If there's not what makes Augusta exciting is what you're seeing. Is you're seeing players make birdies, but you're also seeing guys struggle making bogeys.
Yep.
Augusta is the most wonderful golf course in the world when people are making birdies, because you can hear roars all through the whole place, and especially if they're popular players like McIlroy or Tiger or Phil Mickelson or players like that, you can hear these roars all the way across the golf course. And so at times, if it gets a little too hard and there's not enough birdies, they'll add some water to the course because they know that if you want to see birdies with pro golfers, just add water.
There you go. A little more receptive. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. Nota Begay is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Brooks Koepka. I wanted to run this by here because I know that Brandel Chamblee was our buddy Brandel was taking some heat on this. He always takes heat because he's got strong opinions. And he's an out-of-the-box thinker, and people challenge that on occasion. I love him, though. But he did say that Koepka dropped a lot of weight, and going from 215-ish or 220 down to 190 would, even if it's a fraction that we can't see, but you can as a former pro golfer, as a, you know, as a golfer and an analyst, that it would impact the plane of his swing and could really lead to a wobbly swing. He's playing well today. Have you noticed anything? Is his plane different at all?
No, not at all. And I haven't really noticed anything significant with regard to sort of how he's delivering the golf club to the golf ball at Impact. I know Brandel's a little bit more of a tactician than I am with regard to the technical aspects of the game, but I always just look at the fluidity of somebody's swing. Are they hitting similar shots? I actually was covering Brooks Koepka and watched him the last 10 holes when he shot 66 in the final round of the Honda Classic and missed getting into a playoff by one shot. I didn't see anything that I would sort of designate as red flag.
Okay.
And I know that this is something with regard to weight fluctuation, training in the gym that Tiger went through. There were periods of time, if you look at some of the old videos around 06, 07, where Tiger was ripped up top.
Yep.
And he was really, you know, interested just to see, you know, if he got a little bit bulkier, stronger in his upper body, would it impact or would it provide any advantages? His weight had increased by somewhere between 10 to 12 pounds. And he won the PGA Championship that year, so it really wasn't affecting his game. He was just trying to see, is there an advantage in doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So on the flip side of the coin, you could sort of make that same argument for Brooks Koepka. He's won three major championships at sort of maybe a heavier, more muscular weight. Maybe it's hard for him to carry that around for a full year or to, you know, I mean, Tiki would know, nothing against you, but
yeah,
you know,
it is
fit and to stay strong, you got to put your time in the gym.
Right.
So maybe he's just trying to mess around and just find the right weight for a long-term career. So I got nothing against it at all.
Yeah, no, okay. I agree with you. Brooke, we only have a couple minutes here, Nota, because we're up against the break. We're going to talk some basketball with Greg Anthony here. But just quickly, after seeing a round and a half, I guess, because we're in suspension right now, who do you like so far?
Well, I like – here's the thing about the Masters. In the last 15 years, there's been only one player that shot an over par score after round one to go on to win, and that was Tiger in 2005. He opened with a 74, and it's the largest deficit that any eventual champion has overcome. He was tied for 33rd. After that round, so we passed 32 players en route to winning the Masters in 2005. This tournament basically requires you to be in and around the top 10 after round one. And through 36 holes, I believe in the last 10 years, no player outside the top 10 has ever gone on to win. So for those of you that have high hopes of, say, the McIlroys or the Roses or the Garcias making these big comebacks to win the Masters, it's highly unlikely, not to say that it's impossible, but this is just a tough golf course to make up ground because somebody up the top of that leaderboard with the quality of their resume is going to make some birdies. And so it'll take something monumental for guys to come back in the pack. So looking at Tiger at getting to 4-under through 11 in the second round, that's huge because now he's within three shots. Even if he just plays even par for the last six or seven holes,
he
is going to be in a great position to close out that deficit over the last 36 holes.
Makes total sense. Nice. Nota, always appreciate you carving out some time. Really good stuff. Thank you very much, and have a blast over
Absolutely,
the weekend out
guys.
There.
Take care, Nota.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay, there you go. Nota Begay on site at Augusta. Golf Channel's Golf Central Live from Masters coverage all weekend on the Golf Channel leading up to and immediately following live tournament coverage on CBS. So, I tell you, this can't be good for Tiger's back, though, the stoppage. Number one, he's in the middle of a nice little splurge. He just come, you know, he's got a birdie, and he's got a couple of holes to go. Do you really want to have to, I mean, he doesn't have a choice, but to keep going and then to stop it and then start it back up. And then Sundays is probably going to be a multitude of interruptions. This is going to be a grind. By the way, this could actually go into Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if the Masters rolls into Monday.
Yeah, given the weather.
Sunday's a mess.
The weather that's supposed to be coming.
Yep. I think Saturday's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But Sunday looks bad. We'll see. We'll be watching it. All right, Greg Anthony coming up next. Former NBA point guard, UNLV runner rebel, Larry Johnson and that crew, Stacey Augman, and an analyst for Turner. You know, how vulnerable are the Warriors? All the storylines Teak and I touch at the top of the hour. We'll throw by Greg, get a sense for the NBA playoffs, which start, of course, tomorrow and roll into Sunday. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Teak and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Excuse me. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and a 15-minute save 15% or more on car insurance on this Friday. Little stoppage at Augusta, which obviously is good for nobody, especially Tiger Woods, and with the back issue, he's coming off a birdie. Leaderboard's incredible. We'll finish up with the Masters before we bounce, but right now let's do some hoops and get back to the NBA. Playoffs begin this weekend. Greg Anthony from the NBA on TNT and an analyst on NBA TV. And just a heads up, TNT and the and NBA TV will combine to televise over 40 playoff games, the most of any network, beginning Sunday with a triple header. And you can see Greg on the call of Sunday's second game. Okay, Bucks and the Pistons. Game one at 7 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Greg, what's up, buddy? Welcome back to our show.
Hey, Brandon, Tiki, how are you guys today?
We are good,
awesome,
man.
Listen, you got to petition the league and do one thing for us here. And I know I love that you get a chance to call the game. I don't know that the Pistons offer a whole lot of resistance. You got to put to the Bucks. You got to petition the NBA. Can we go back to the best of five for the first round, Greg? Can we please do that?
Listen, it would add more intrigue, but I don't know from a revenue standpoint that the league would be willing to give up those two extra games potentially of dollars. So that might be an issue. And I will also say this year is about as compelling a first round as I can remember. I do recall 2 years ago there was a ton of seventh games. I don't know if we get that many, but I do think we have a lot of series that could be compelling for a lot of different reasons, even with the Bucks. Like, we know the Bucks are clearly a better team than Detroit, arguably the best team in the league, but they got a lot of issues. You know, I mean, a lot of injuries. Now, Blake Griffin being hurt doesn't help from a Detroit standpoint, but you know, when you think about this Bucks team, this is not a team that's been down this path before. They haven't won a playoff series with Giannis at the helm. And, you know, they're going to have Malcolm Brogdon. He's out. We don't know about Mirotic. They've got a lot of guys that are going to be dealing with some issues injury-wise that could, you know, play a role. And how are they going to handle it? Let's say, you know, for some unforeseen reason, they lose the first game. How do they respond? How do they react? You know, Mike Budenholzer is a terrific coach. I voted for him Coach of the Year this year. He's had a 60-win team before. They did make it to the conference finals, but they got swept.
Yeah.
So, Atlanta. You know, there's a little bit of trepidation in Milwaukee right now, and I'm anxious to get there because I do like this team a lot if healthy.
Well, how important is that experience factor at this stage? We see things in the regular season that can lie to you a little bit, and even for the better teams like Golden State, who had all that drama surrounding, you know, KD and Draymond early, and then other things as it went on, as Steve Kerr detailed extensively, but you're not worried about Golden State because they've been there so many times. How important is that experience, even if you are physically and even coaching wise, talking about Budenholzer, the better team?
Monumentally, and it's more important. Now, the one advantage Milwaukee has, even though they haven't had a lot of playoff success, they've been in the postseason. They played a couple seventh games in the postseason. And it matters because the game is different. And what I try to explain to fans is, you know, unlike the regular season, your system has far more impact in the regular season than coaching and even great players because you don't have an opportunity to prepare. But when you get in the postseason, we're going to be on the same schedule. I'm going to have, you know, potentially seven times to see you. I can take away tendencies. I can affect your system. And it's where coaching and great players become even more important because the great players have the ability to score against great defense. They can be effective against great defense, where good players can struggle a little bit more. Because, again, you're not tricking me. I'm prepared for everything you want to do. I just remember my first playoff series as a rookie with the Knicks. You know, after our last game, we were flying home, and when we land, our video coordinator, he gave us all. There was a book. It was like an encyclopedia. It was so large. It had every play that team has run that season. It had everything that the guys you were going to be individually matched up with, every tendency, every shot they took, every turnover they made. It had everything. And when you put in that time, effort, and energy to really break that stuff down, boy, you talk about the confidence you got from that kind of preparation.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, you're talking 25 years ago. So you can imagine the attention to detail that's paid today because of the resources that weren't available back then. And so if you're committed as a group and you have belief and you have confidence, you can have some success in the postseason, especially if you have some experience. And a lot of these teams that are coming in haven't had a lot of success in the regular season. You talked about Milwaukee. You look at a team like Denver. You know, they haven't necessarily done it on this stage where the expectations now are for them to be successful.
And by the way, I'm sure Ewing immersed himself in those pages. How about John Starks? Give me a name. Give me a name from that team.
He did. But wait, Brandon, you know what? They did. You know why? Because Raleigh would trick you. Uh-huh. Like, he would put stuff, like, we get a lot of videotape, too. He'd put stuff in the middle of the video.
Okay.
Nice.
And you would, he would be able to tell if you'd seen it.
That's great.
Like, we had a few guys that didn't do it.
Yeah.
Didn't do the prep work, and it was made. And listen, there is no worse feeling than to be called out by your coaches, especially in the postseason, because that's the time. You might not be as focused during the regular season when it comes to the prep away from the court, right?
Yeah,
You get to practice. You know, right?
Yep.
You go to practice. You go hard. You go through everything they tell you. But then you might check out once you leave. In the postseason, you're expected to literally be focused and preparing all the time because you're going to go play them again, right? You know, you play that first game, maybe you lose it. Okay, now it's about the adjustments, and there's even more attention to detail. So, yeah, you do worry about that, but guys today, are even more focused and hopefully they won't get caught with their pants down.
I love it. By the way, it seems like yesterday you guys were shaving your heads and wearing the black sneakers. That was a good look, man. Yeah. That was a badass team. You know, I love that team. Greg Anthony's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. I wanted to just step away from the games for a second. And Greg, NBA on TNT and NBA TV analyst, of course, got all the games as much as anybody, any network, 40 games coming up with the first round stuff here. David Griffin, and I know you know this, about an hour or so ago was named the president of basketball ops for the Pelicans. Is there any chance he tries to coerce Anthony Davis to changing his mind, or is it, no, we bring Griffin in to get the best trade?
I think he'd be foolhardy not to try to persuade him to stay. And I think if he came in with the proper vision and game plan, you know, it's possible he could change his mind. But I think with how it was handled after he came out and made the proclamation that he wanted out, that they got to get a deal done. You know what's funny, though, and it's funny, I just had this conversation with a lot of basketball people. They may regret not having pulled the trigger on that Laker deal because I don't know that they can get a better deal than what the Lakers offered. I thought the Lakers gave way too much for Anthony Davis. And remember, ultimately, if he doesn't agree to sign the extension, how much can you honestly give up on?
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, they're saying, oh, wait till Boston. And the other hypothetical, listen, I think there's a better than 70% chance that Kyrie is not a Celtic next year. So if Kyrie walks, remember, they don't get anything for Kyrie if he walks.
Yep.
What assets are you going to have in Boston to be able to make a trade and still be a contender in a much-improved Eastern Conference? So, you know, we talk about how they let that thing play out in the media in terms of the proposed trade. Now the irony of it is both those front offices have been clear. Basically, they're starting over.
Yeah.
Right? Magic resigns. They fired Dale Demps. And you know what? It could be a scenario where you see those two teams basically immerse themselves in talks again because I do think there are a couple other teams that have the assets to make the deal. But ultimately, if he's not willing to re-sign, I don't know if you're willing to take that risk to give up the kind of assets that New Orleans would want.
Yeah, so who's the likely destination then? Is it the Lakers again?
Well, I think that the Lakers would be in play there, but there are going to be some other teams. It's hard to really say who would be because, again, by that time, the draft will have taken place.
Yeah.
Free agency potentially will have played out. And so you kind of want to wait to see how all that, because I do think there are going to be some significant movement in the free agent market after the draft.
Yeah.
You know, there's more likely that, you know, think about it. Kevin Durant could be gone. Kawhi Leonard could be gone. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving could be gone.
Kemba.
Know, in terms of the A-list guys.
Yep, then A-minus Kemba.
Yeah, then you got Kemba, you know, and guys like that. Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. Tobias Harris. You know, there's a lot of great players that, you know, we don't even talk about this. Klay Thompson.
Good point. He's not going nowhere.
You know,
like, he's not going nowhere.
Again, did you think Kevin Durant was going to Golden State?
No, but I knew he was leaving OKC. You know what I mean? I don't think Klay is leaving Golden State.
Well, you know what? He may not. I would be surprised. But yeah. One thing we should know, having followed this game the last few years, is we tend to be more surprised than not.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You think about what LeBron has done. I didn't see LeBron in L.A. I mean, there's talk about it, but I knew he was leaving. But remember, at the time when he left, they weren't ready, as they showed this year, to really compete.
That's a good point.
And so that was a bit of a shock in that regard. And like I said, there's a lot of guys that are – and when those dominoes fall, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is going to be a free agent.
Yes.
You know, not an A-list guy now because he's coming off the injury, but he has a big postseason. He now becomes an A-list guy.
He's going to be valuable somewhere. You know? Talking about surprises, and we only got a couple minutes here, Greg, but I want to get this question in because BT and I bounced it around a little bit. Denver feels like a week two seed. Unfortunately for them, they're matched up against Pop with the San Antonio Spurs. Now, San Antonio's playing old school. They're inside out. Aldridge scores and DeRozan creates on his own. But could that be the upset of the first round?
Well, first of all, I don't know that it'd be an upset. And listen, I have to say this because I have the utmost respect for Mike Malone and what he's done with that team because they've had an incredible season. But in a lot of ways, because of the lack of experience, to me, Denver's an 8 seed masquerading as a 2 in the West. Now, that's – well, you
– I don't disagree, but that's just –
not really a big knock. That's not a knock because – you got to remember, too, it's not like they're like 8-9 games ahead of these teams.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, they're not – it's not that big a gap. Think about this
six.
With Houston. Houston's a 4 seed.
There's 6 games ahead.
If Houston had beat OKC when they lose at the buzzer on the Paul George shot, they'd be the 2 seed.
Yeah, it's true.
Houston would have been the 2 seed.
That's true.
So like, it's not that Denver isn't a good team. They are a good team. But I go back to the point I made earlier. What Denver doesn't – Jokic – has a chance to be a great player, but what Denver doesn't have, they don't have great players. They have a lot of really good players. Their system's been terrific, and they've had a wonderful season. I'm not taking anything away from them. They're a really good team, but I don't look at Denver as a contender.
No.
I don't think they're a championship-caliber team yet. You know, they could grow into that, but I don't see it happening this year. They're just not. And you've seen how it's played out the last 3 times they played Golden State, who is a championship-caliber team. It wasn't even competitive.
Yeah.
And it's not like those aren't games you're not trying to play and you want to win, because when you're the younger team, you want to see how you match up against the 2-time defending champs, and they didn't match up very well.
Good stuff, Greg. Enjoy the games. You're going to be in the booth the first game between the Pistons and the Bucks, 7 p.m. Eastern, that is, on TNT. Greg Anthony, NBA on TNT, and NBA TV analyst. Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate you, brother.
Okay, guys. Be good.
Be good,
okay,
Greg.
There you go. It sounded harsh. An 8 seed masquerades a 2, but
it's 6 games.
As he did.
Think about it. It's 6 games that separating the 2 from the 8.
Yep.
In the Western Conference.
With that being said, there's no way they're losing to the Spurs. They're not gonna lose that series. There's no way they're gonna lose that series. you want to bet?
No.
All right. Get the update from Mack. By the way, they're back on the course at Augusta.
Nice.
Tigers getting ready to line up a putt. Mack's gonna set you up.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay. Where's Will Smith been? Where's he?
Being a dad.
Enjoying his wealth?
He's in Aladdin. That's what he's doing.
Is he?
Yeah, the new one. Like,
okay.
The real, like, real live people Aladdin.
Really?
It's not animated.
I got you. All right, so we'll still...
He's the genie.
Still killing it, huh? Tika, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question... Let's go this. How about Frank out in Denver wants to know, guys, would the Lakers be making a mistake by hiring Ty Lue? What do you think, Teak?
I think not. I think it's as good as you're going to get for LeBron. And it may be short-lived, which would suck for Ty Lue. Get fired 8 games in like he did.
That's not going to happen.
I'm just kidding.
There's no way.
No, no. I mean, after LeBron retires. So, like, 3 years from now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be close.
Or LeBron demands a trade and Tyrus stuck with a roster. That,
yeah, exactly. You know. I'm going to say yeah, though. Because I
that,
can't,
that it's the best they could do?
Yeah, I can't think of who else would fit with LeBron right now.
I hear you. That's something to certainly, that's the obstacle that you have to overcome. And, you know, you hate to say that your star player's got to sign off on it, but certain players do. And LeBron's got to feel good with it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, having said that, I do think that, and I said this a while ago, you'll back me up, I would still consider trading LeBron. I think that this would be even more impetus to go to him and say, listen, I know what you thought was going to happen. I know that, you know, I'm not saying that you came here solely to work with Magic, but I'm sure Magic, that was some part, you know, part of the inspiration.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick the tires, see what we can get for you? Can we possibly reroute you somewhere that you would feel amenable to and inspired to? However you want to phrase it.
It's crazy. Doesn't that feel like that would be the best route for the Lakers to go in?
For the Lakers, it would be.
But it's
for LeBron at this point, it might be.
It probably is, but just to admit it.
Well, you're admitting defeat
abject
very fast.
Abject
failure is well described.
I mean, yes. Just like that.
But you know what? You forget about the abject failure if you get back a ton of pieces, and all of a sudden, 3 years or so, when LeBron's an old man on the court, you win in 50 games.
Who do you think? Clippers?
Yeah, you can't do it with the team in your own building. That's the one thing you can't do. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Let me see. Now that we're taking the serious step about trying to get LeBron traded, let me actually just look at the standings real fast. Make sure I'm not missing anybody here. And so I have the teams in front of me, but obviously knowing the assets too.
You know what? Think about it. Tell us after the blast.
No, I want to do it now. Why? Is Yomaz Dissel?
Yeah, so we can get to the blast.
We have to move on? Is that what he's saying?
No, we only got a minute before
we don't
have
listen
to
Yomaz Dissel.
No, we don't listen to Samter. We do listen to Yomaz.
No, we don't. Yomaz. Yomaz Dissel.
Nomaz.
How you doing there, Yomaz?
Nomaz.
You okay?
It's Friday. Doing good.
Okay.
That's a good point.
You know what? I will actually. I will do that. Let's do it. Go ahead. I'll take care of it. Go ahead.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. Not surprising that Steve Alford landed back on his feet.
He's a good coach.
And he's a...
Okay.
I guess he's good. He got the Nevada job, as we know. But did Nevada need to give him a 10-year contract?
No, I just asked Diesel this. Why? Can we explain this? I mean, maybe.
I can, but I'll give you first crack. I can explain it pretty easy.
Maybe they think that he's going to, elevate their program and be a commodity again
more
somewhere
than Musselman
else.
Did? I mean, they ranked in the top 5 for a bunch
of... I'm asking, this is hypothetical. Okay. He's going to elevate them right, or keep them where they are, and maybe even get deeper than Musselman, and someone's going to come after him because he's Steve Alford, and so you give him a 10-year deal so that, the buyout's bigger.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. It's a strange contract.
There's no doubt about that. The only thing I can think of is this point, while Nevada has their profile has risen through the roof, and they traded us well. Eric came on the show. They sent us some gear.
Yeah.
Some Wolfpack gear. I mean, they're doing well. You know, playing the transfer market. It's where I know they came up a little short this year, the Twins. But I think it's 10 years is ridiculous. But they're probably saying, man, if Steve pops in a year or two, he's going to look to bounce.
Yeah.
For a higher pro, whatever that higher profile job is, maybe somewhere in the Pac-12, I don't know. It protects them, and it gives Steve the security in case he doesn't pop in a year or two at Nevada. I don't love it, but I guess I get it. Jacksonville running back Leonard Fournette was arrested yesterday for driving with a suspended license.
Come on.
Now. How disappointing. Come on. I mean, we all hate going to the DMV. Go to the DMV. How disappointing.
Trust me, you'll walk in there and they will take care of you. Trust me.
If you're famous?
No, just because you're Leonard Fournette. You know, you're.
So if you're a famous player, they'll push you to the front of the line?
Yes, that's what I mean. That's not push you to the front of the line, but whatever the issue is.
They won't be rude to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're rude to the normal common folk?
Hey, go sit over there for 6 hours.
Yeah. The looks that you get, the venomous looks that you get from, not all, I don't want to cast aspersions on everybody, but some of the people at the DMV, You think that the devil just walked in. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm here because I have to be.
I forgot the details of this. DCL just reminded me. Yes. He had an outstanding ticket. If you don't pay a ticket, it's not like New York where you can let those things accrue for like years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay a ticket.
Yep.
And it's outstanding for a year in Florida.
Yep.
They suspend your license.
Okay.
For a ticket.
Okay. Well, I mean, that aside, how disappointing from the football point of view has the start of Fournette's career been?
It's been frustrating.
I think it's been incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
Frustrating. I think grossly disappointing.
Injuries. And then we heard the Tom Coughlin stuff with him and TJ Yeldon last year, just not taking it seriously. It's a shame because he has the ability, physical ability, to be a monster.
Mm-hmm. He was banged up in college, banged up in the NFL. When you have now, even relative squares can have issues with Tom Coughlin. You don't have to color too deeply outside of the lines to have issues with Tom Coughlin. He's very regimented. We know that.
You're right.
But yeah, he's woefully disappointing at this point. I mean, you might get him for 50 cents on the dollar. I don't know if he desires to be great. That's what worries me. I don't know. I thought he had that internal fire.
You worry sometimes so sure for kids like that who've been told that they are going to be great since he was 12, 14 years old.
Yep. We'll see. TBD. All right, TBD on the St. John's head coaching vacancy. Bobby Hurley thought to be a front runner. Mike Cragg, the new AD, 30 years at Duke.
He used you.
Little leverage, you got paid.
Yeah,
it was a distinct possibility. It happens at every school or a lot of schools where there's opening. So Bobby's going to stay at Arizona State instead of pursuing St. John's. Are we surprised? I'm not surprised. Funny, I was talking to some of the guys in the bullpen. I'm not surprised because when you hear, first of all, Arizona State has football money and they have a much better campus life than St. John's.
Yep.
I love St. John's, but there's no comparison. Sun, palm trees, beautiful sprawling campus, Queens, New York, limited budget. I understand the differences and the challenges. But if you're a New York guy or a New Jersey guy, and I can relate to this because I lived out west, both in Nevada and San Francisco, and everybody thinks if you're from here, you can't wait to come back. And that's kind of true, but when you get used to West Coast living and you're making money, it's pretty good.
Agreed, and it's nice out in Arizona.
It's pretty nice out there.
And he's got a program that can draw from almost anywhere.
Correct.
Because of those exact reasons that you're stating.
That's right, and he's done something. I remember reading this in the game notes before the tournament game against St. John's, ironically. He's done something that hadn't occurred since 82 or 83, Fat Lever, those guys. Back-to-back NCAA tournament appearances for the Sun Devils, and he's poised to make it three.
Right.
So I get it. Ronald Acuna, beast. And he's not even really off to a smashing start, but he is a star. Ronald Acuna hit a 462-foot bomb, and he's homered in three straight games. Is he the best player in the National League? Oh, that's going to make me think a little bit here. You want to take this first? I mean, I can easily jump on this if you want.
Arenado is right. I mean,
he's Brooks Robinson, the third base with power. You got to throw him into the conversation. Goldschmidt's a masher and a good fielding first baseman.
Maybe you could put
Bryce Harper,
Cody Bellinger.
Nah, Bryce Harper's not one of the best players.
Yeah, he can't hit for average enough.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say no.
Who are we missing?
I'm going to say Arenado.
Who are we missing?
You got to put Arenado.
Diamondbacks, Rockies, Dodgers. Are we missing anybody on the Dodgers
there
yet?
Ooh. Machado.
I can't put Machado there yet. No, he's had enough bombs. No, I can't put him there yet. The Nationals, no. Cubs, nobody on the. Baez had a great year last year. I can't say he's the best yet. He's going to be a multi-MVP winner, I believe, but I can't say he's the best yet.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Where's LeBron being traded to?
I was already starting to look at the Masters leaderboard. I forgot about that. Where would I trade him to or what makes sense? Let's see. I'll tell you what might make a little bit of sense here.
Go ahead.
How about the Phoenix Suns? They have players. Mm. They've got an early draft pick.
Yeah, but are they going to be good?
I mean, I'm just throwing out teams that have pieces that would, in theory, interest the Lakers and draft equity that you could also spin back.
But LeBron's got to be happy going to this place.
Of course he does. No, I hear you on that.
I don't think he's going to be happy going.
I don't think so either. Nuggets, no. T-Wolves, no. I mean, listen, would Dallas ever trade Doncic? They'd be crazy to trade Doncic or that other guy who used to play for my team whose name say anymore.
He who shall not be named.
That guy.
Porzingis.
That guy. Legal issue aside, although it looks to be losing steam, it looks like that's going to – we'll see. I don't even want to take a guess. We'll see. Teague, have a great trip to Paris.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a great marathon, my
Paris
man.
Paris Marathon on Sunday. I'll be back on Monday.
You're nuts.
That's how I roll.
You're crazy. Stretch the hammies. Have fun. I'll be watching the Masters for everybody. Have a great weekend from Tiki and Tierney. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.